What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Thursday, October 1st, 2020. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. We have a lot to talk about today. In fact, I got a lot of news to catch up on from the last few days. So it may be a while before we open the phone lines, because I really do want to clear out this list and get some of this stuff reported out to you here. Mike is in our control room. He's twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble. So let's get on into it. This has been a development regarding the Burisma Gas Holdings Corporation of Ukraine. They have admitted in court proceedings that they did, in fact, bribe then U.S. Vice President Joseph Biden and his son Hunter Biden. The only issue left is how much the bribes were. Burisma disputes a claim that the bribes amounted to $900,000. There are indications it may have been even more money. So that is definitely going to put a new wrinkle in terms of the presidential campaign here. Now, James Comey has been testifying before the Senate Judiciary Committee, started yesterday, and he testified under oath that he didn't know anything at all about the dossier author Christopher Steele's sources, and said that old standby excuse that we hear so much in Washington, D.C. He has no memory. He doesn't remember, can't recall. What is it about Washington, D.C. that everybody has such a poor memory? And why do we keep appointing people with such faulty memories to high positions? That's what I want to find out about now. Anyway, this was a huge whopper by Comey. He used to run the country's premier law enforcement agency, or modern day American Gestapo, depending upon your point of view. Christopher Steele's primary source, Igor Danchenko, was a Russian spy and deemed to be a threat to national security. And they took that dossier and they ran with it. And of course, it was completely discredited. And they still used it to get warrants from the FISA court for Trump and various other people here. Trump is now calling for the arrest of former FBI Director James Comey, following comments that Comey made about the Russia investigation before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Comey appeared in front of the committee yesterday to take questions on his handling of the FBI's role in the Russia investigation. Replying to a tweet from D.C. journalist Paul Sperry, who noted that Comey had said the investigation had been done by the book, Trump tweeted yesterday afternoon that Comey should be arrested on the spot. Now, over at the CIA, Director Haspel is personally blocking the declassification of their Russiagate documents. And Federalist co-founder Sean Davis reports that CIA Director Gina Haspel is blocking the release of documents which will show what actually happened with Russiagate. He said, this isn't just a scandal about Democratic projection. This is a scandal about what was a coup planned against the incoming administration at the highest levels. And I can report here tonight that these declassifications that have come out, those weren't easy to get out, and there are far more waiting to get out. This on the Tucker Carlson show last night. Unfortunately, those releases and declassifications, according to multiple sources I've talked to, are being blocked by Gina Haspel, who herself was the main link between Washington and London. Okay, now, you remember a while back, there was this big stink over the Mueller investigation where they were ordered to turn over all their government cell phones, and somehow they accidentally got erased. Something like 31 phones, I think it was. It's come on out now that the iPhones owned by the government are routinely backed up. And the indications are that the government may, in fact, have everything that was on those phones. So that's going to be embarrassing to some people. Getting on to the area of election fraud and why we should be concerned about November 3rd, multiple memory sticks and a laptop used to program the voting machines in Philadelphia have been stolen from a city warehouse. The equipment appeared to be taken this week. Officials immediately began checking to make sure none of the voting machines had been compromised, while also working to contain the fallout for fear of how Donald Trump and his allies might use the news to cast doubt on the integrity of the city's elections. I think that horse has already left the barn here. Many details surrounding the incident remained unclear Wednesday afternoon, including exactly how the equipment was taken, whether there were any suspects, and details on how the missing technology might be used. Officials said there are multiple levels of security to prevent the equipment from being used maliciously, and a police investigation is ongoing. We hope. All righty. Associated Press has issued new guidance for reporters to cover up leftist violence. And they're basically saying things like, don't use the word riot, use the word disturbance, various other ways of softening the impact of what's being reported. So you've got these violent left-wing kooks roaming the streets of American City for months, terrorizing people, murdering Trump supporters, beating people to a pulp, shooting police officers, and assaulting people in their vehicles. But you wouldn't know any of this if you consume news exclusively from the corporate media, because the corporate media doesn't want you to know about it. And apparently they really think they succeeded, or we wouldn't have had that ridiculous exchange Tuesday night about white supremacists being behind all the violence. Okay, remember a while ago when two Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department deputies were shot in this ambush attack in Compton? This happened on September 13th, and they have finally arrested a suspect. He's a gang member, Deontay Lee Murray, and he's charged with the attempted murder of two LA County Sheriff's deputies in the ambush shooting. So they finally managed to track the guy down. All righty. getting into COVID-19 here. Fox News, conservative media, and independent media get it wrong when reporting CDC fatality data. They're off by two orders of magnitude. And if you click on that story at whatreallyhappened.com, you'll see a screenshot from Fox News where they are. Somebody forgot, when you go from percentage to real numbers, there's an additional two zeros in there that you have to take account for. So once again, the mathematical idiocy and scientific ignorance of Fox News has emerged to push totally fake news about COVID-19 fatalities, wildly misreporting the CDC's latest data on COVID-19. All righty. Now, Dr. Yidan, who's a Pfizer executive, he decries false positives in the testing programs, which have been a real problem. And for the second wave, he says it's a fraud. Now, how many experts who haven't been compromised do you need to hear before you believe the truth? And what's that old saying? It's easier to fool people than to convince them they have been fooled. Okay. The Washington Post has admitted school openings have not caused widespread outbreaks of COVID-19. All right, getting over to the vaccine trial participants, two of them have come down with what's called myelitis, transverse myelitis. And it turns out it's actually a fairly common vaccine injury. So, and Oxford University are trying to downplay this because it caused their clinical trials in five countries to come to a screeching halt earlier in September. But it is a known adverse reaction to vaccines. Now, the current vaccine is being developed with $1.2 billion of American taxpayer dollars and $750 million from two global health organizations backed by Bill Gates. After a British participant was given a second dose of the vaccine, she experienced the very serious adverse event transverse myelitis, or TM, which is associated with muscle weakness, paralysis, pain, and problems with the bladder and bowels. Two-thirds of those who have it will remain permanently disabled. AstraZeneca also disclosed long after the fact that the September break was actually the second time they had to stop their study. All right. The COVID-19 phase 3 vaccine trial participants are reporting day-long migraines and fever. European press reports earlier indicated that the EU's pharma regulator is preparing to expedite approval of the AstraZeneca-Oxford vaccine, even as FDA expands its investigation into the COVID-19 vaccine's phase 3 trials. As the World Health Organization, Bill Gates, Dr. Fauci, and the global healthcare establishment work with their allies in the press to try and convince as many people as possible to agree to take the vaccine once one is approved, more alarming reports are emerging in the mainstream press about issues with the phase 3 trials. Okay. Now, interestingly enough, over at Manchester Metropolitan University, students are being threatened with police action if they didn't remove signs complaining about the lockdown placed in the windows in their halls of residence. Now, students across the city have been placed under a new two-week lockdown, meaning they're under de facto house arrest, cannot leave their homes, and are forced to rely on food deliveries. Some reacted to the restrictions by placing signs in their windows that said, "Help us," and "Her Majesty's Prison, MMU." Another sign said, "Mental health comes first. Let us out." Okay, we had a caller call in early. We're going to go ahead and take the call. Mary in Virginia, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
How are you and Claire?
We're doing fine. Thank you very much.
Yes, love you both. Hey,
thank you.
Can you give my kudos to John?
Okay.
Your boss? And
yes.
Just tell for me, Dinah Washington, what a difference a day makes. And Tom, thank you from me. And I will be a regular donator the day
good.
I die.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good night.
Good night. Thank you very much. Okay, turning to the California wildfires, they're still going on. They've been going on so long, they've fallen off the news cycle. Three dead, nearly 100,000 evacuate as two massive wildfires explode in Northern California. Apparently, it's hitting the wine country now. A couple of towns have been completely destroyed here. The Glass Fire has consumed more than 45,000 acres of land. The Zog Fire has burned 40,000 acres. Both are 0% contained. Some 1,500 firefighters continue to battle the wildfires that have been ravaging Napa's famous wine region. So you can count on the price of California wines to skyrocket in the near future. Some notable wineries, such as Chateau Boswell and a portion of the 13th century style winery Castello di Amorosa, have been lost to the blazes, which reached the fringes of Santa Rosa, the biggest town in Sonoma County. It's a complete total loss, said Jim Sullivan, Castello di Amorosa's vice president of marketing and PR. Okay, now this is where we're getting a little bit weird here. There is an environmental professor out in California at Santa Clarita University, and his name is Ted Gruden. He earned his PhD in environmental science from the University of California at Berkeley, and he wrote an op-ed in the Earth Island Journal last week in which he claims white supremacy is the cause of wildfires and hurricanes. And, you know, it's the white supremacy over nature which has brought environmental calamity upon us. Well, Ted, I hate to tell you this, but there were wildfires long before people were around. White, black, tan, beige, peach, taupe, mauve, whatever color here. All right, turning to the international news and turning to the Azerbaijani-Armenian war, Turkish F-16s are now entering the game. Armenia continues to threaten to use the Iskander missiles. As of September 29th, the Azerbaijani advance in the Nagorno-Karabakh region struck the Armenian defense, and Azerbaijani forces were not able to achieve any military breakthroughs. Armenian troops withdrew from several positions in the Talish area and east of Fuzuli. So they're continuing the fights. They're rejecting the possibility of peace talks. They're rejecting pressure to hold peace talks after fighting erupted in the disputed Nagorno-Karabakh enclave. The conflict could be spreading further as both sides have accused one another of firing directly into each other's territory as of Tuesday, which is a bad thing. So Azeri President Ilham Aliyev spoke to Russian media, ruled out the possibility of any talks. Armenian Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan told the same media outlet the negotiations were not possible while the fighting continues. Since fighting started on Sunday, dozens have been reported killed, hundreds wounded, with clashes continuing for the third day. It prompted the UN to convene for emergency talks. Observers noted this is the heaviest fighting the enclave has seen since the ceasefire was declared in 1994. Okay, now then, a while back, there were accusations that Turkey was sending Syrian fighters into the fight. Turkey denied it. Well, apparently on Wednesday, The Guardian published a story that said at least three Syrian opposition fighters were killed in Nagorno-Karabakh, where Armenia and Azerbaijan are fighting. Multiple media outlets have cited sources in northern Syria that said a Turkish security company offered Syrian fighters around $1,000 a month to travel to Azerbaijan. The Guardian spoke with the families of Syrian fighters who were reported to have been killed. And one man, Omar Abdo, is the cousin of a slain fighter named Mohammed Sha'alan. Abdo said he was contacted by members of the Hamza division on Tuesday who told him of his cousin's death. Okay, Armenia has published photos of wreckage it says is a Sukhoi 25 warplane shot down by a Turkish F-16 jet. So this is getting really serious, a lot of heavy equipment involved. Okay. So Armenia posted these pictures on an online government platform Wednesday of the wreckage of a plane it said was a Sukhoi 25. Turkey and Azerbaijan have denied Yerevan's claim that a Turkish F-16 fighter shot down the Armenian plane, killing the pilot. On Wednesday, Armenia's defense ministry named the pilot as Major Valery Danilin. Okay. The Armenian defense ministry says the Karabakh forces downed three Azerbaijan planes today. Tensions between Armenia and Azerbaijan have escalated since Sunday, with the sides accusing each other of being responsible for the aggression along the line of contact in Nagorno-Karabakh. The armed forces of the unrecognized Republic of Nagorno-Karabakh have downed two Azerbaijani planes and a helicopter, according to the Armenian Defense Ministry, thereby reporting overall three planes allegedly downed in the area since Thursday morning. Now, Turkey is denying the allegations that it shot down the Sukhoi 25. And Armenian officials said that the Sukhoi 25 from its Air Force was shot down by a Turkish F-16 that took off from Azerbaijan. If true, it's a serious escalation by Turkey, which has pledged support for Azerbaijan in the conflict. Azerbaijan is saying that 12 Azeri civilians have killed, 35 wounded by Armenian fire. This is a very, very serious situation that's going on over there. And it's one of four flashpoints from which World War III could actually erupt. Because if Turkey is coming in on one side, Russia is going to come in on the other side. Turkey invokes NATO, and then everybody gets to play out there in the desert. All right. Tehran, meanwhile, is rejecting media allegations that it is transferring arms to Armenia via Iran. It's dismissing the reports as lies by some media outlets and says the movement of trucks and transit of conventional civilian goods between the Islamic Republic of Iran and neighboring countries is going on as usual. However, he said, in addition to closely monitoring and controlling the movements and transits of goods to other countries, Iran does not allow the use of its soil for the transfer of weapons and ammunition. Over in Iraq, things are heating up there. We mentioned before that the U.S. State Department is livid over repeat rocket and mortar attacks on both the U.S. Embassy compound in Baghdad and the high secure green zone in which the American compound is located. This resulted in U.S. officials signaling at the start of this week they're mulling shuttering the embassy altogether and calling all diplomatic personnel home. Multiple reports say preparations for just such a retreat are underway, which strongly suggests bigger U.S. military intervention will follow. Oh, goody, another Iraq war. That's when things were getting boring. Not only was there weekend fire on the U.S. embassy area, but a Monday attack on Baghdad's international airport, which also hosts Western military advisory forces, killed five Iraqi civilians when a rocket slammed into their house on the edge of the airport. The U.S. is demanding Iraq immediately act against the militias. The State Department has declared itself outraged over the Monday rocket attack at the Baghdad airport, and the U.S. is demanding Iraq take immediate action against the militias. U.S. officials say they consider the militias a danger and expect Iraq to fight them, even though in practice these militias are part of Iraq's own security forces. Iraq has struggled to exert control over the militias for years. Now, according to Russia's defense minister, Shoigu, Russia is responsible for wiping out ISIS in Syria. And he made this statement on the fifth anniversary of Moscow's intervention. And he said, basically, thanks to Russian forces, the Islamic State in Syria has been defeated. And Shoigu claimed more than 133,000 terrorists had been killed in the country over the past 5 years. Okay, we got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be back with more news after these few words.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no wage, can't draw no pay.
Welcome back to our show here, and a friendly reminder, a perpetual reminder, that Republic Broadcasting Network is in a perpetual fundraiser, and we really need your help to keep doing what we're doing. We don't have any large corporations or conservative billionaires pouring all kinds of money over us. Nobody in independent media is getting rich doing any of this. And we really do need your help. The only way we're going to stop the big money influence over our country is for the small money to unite together in the cause of restoring our republic. So with that in mind, a reminder that the postal address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer, anonymity cash is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 3. And remember, there's no such thing as too small a donation. Okay, well, apparently we have a lot of people who didn't hear at the top of the show that I wanted to hold off on the phone calls to get some more news done. But the lines are loading up here. So let's go to Leela in Canada. Boy, it's been a long time since we heard from you. What's on your mind?
Actually, I haven't been able to listen to your show today, Mike, but I was listening to yesterday's recording, and there was a guy on complaining about the fact that American weapons were being used to help the Azerbaijanis?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the Azerbaijanis are Muslim, and he was raising this issue of Muslim versus Christian. Well, I don't know. Has anybody identified the instigation for this recent battle? I mean, it just seemed to come out of nowhere. Has anyone yet?
Well, it was a breakdown in the 1994 ceasefire. I mean, Armenia and Azerbaijan have been, arguing over this Nagorno area for a long time. Nagorno itself sees itself as an independent republic, but is as yet unrecognized by the other governments on planet Earth.
Well, isn't Nagorno also largely Armenian anyway? And isn't it within the under the control of the Armenians? But this is not really a Muslim Christian issue. It's more a matter of the benefit to Israel. I mean, like with any crime, you always have to ask, when you look at the cause or the suspect, who benefits by this?
Now, yes.
In the past, when I used to call in, I used to insist that when Arab against Arab violence was occurring, there was always Mizrahi Israelis sent out by the Mossad to as instigators. There is no doubt in my mind, since the Rothschilds were in Baku, Azerbaijan, that is where they made their wealth in the oil, along with the Nobel brothers, who have been Nobel laureates. They were all working together, extracting. Well, it didn't have to work very hard. You could pick the oil out of off the ground in Baku, Azerbaijan.
Yes.
So the Azerbaijanis have always been very friendly with Israel because the Rothschilds made their wealth there, and the Rothschilds actually... Israel is the headquarters for the Rothschild financial empire and all their corporate alliances. So let's look at who benefits from this. Now, Armenia, throughout history, if you look at ancient history, has always been beat up by one empire after another.
Yes.
So it's unfair. I mean, there were a lot of Armenians amongst the Christian Palestinians, Armenian Orthodox. I think the majority of Armenians are Orthodox of the Eastern Rite, so they would. They're not Catholics. So there's a lot of there's not very much sympathy for the Eastern Orthodox Church or the Antiochian Church or whatever. But you know, the same guy also seems to forget that Bill Clinton was in charge when U.S. weapons were used to bomb the Christians of Serbia in order to assist the Kosovo.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's keep. And again, what was the purpose? I still maintain the reason that Yugoslavia was broken up was so that they could enable the migrants from Africa and the Middle East who were being pushed out like herded cattle, rampaging through Europe in order to get out of the Middle East, to clear the Middle East in order to make it easier and to create chaos and factions, not only within the Middle East, but to create chaos and factions that would fight one another within the Western world. Because now COVID, let's face it, is part of the globalization plan. We have now, in the U.S., it's enshrined in the Constitution, the right, the freedom of assembly. Well, now they've used coronavirus as an excuse to withdraw the right to freedom of assembly. Everybody is imprisoned in their homes. It's no coincidence they're using the term lockdown because we're all like naughty, bad prisoners. And we're all, being imprisoned in home. And they even want to track us on our cell phones. It's almost, we might as well have an ankle, a bracelet around our ankle so they could track where we go. And then
they're doing that down in Australia.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. But the next step is going to be, what are they going to be putting in the vaccine? I mean, there's nanotechnology. They could actually put anything in the vaccines that apparently they're going to make mandatory in some states.
Leila, stay on the line. I'm going to put you on hold. We've got to take another break for commercials, and we'll be right back with more phone calls.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.com.
www.dinawashington.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working 2 jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
Welcome back to our show here. We're talking with Layla in Canada. And Layla, I think you had one more thing you wanted to share with us.
Yeah, I think that the vaccines are going to be the final stage of turning people into robotic and totally compliant, terrified individuals who no longer know how to think and will be obedient. I mean, they need robots on this planet, but they haven't got the energy sources for robots, whereas humans have the mitochondria where we generate our own energy. So the best thing is you just remove the capacity to think and question, and then you turn them into your army of robots. And I think the vaccine is going to be made mandatory, and that's going to be the ultimate step in turning us into just a planet of subservient and utterly compliant and unquestioning, obedient puppets and robots.
Yep.
That's my guess. That would be my projection of what the plan is. Anyway, take care, Mike. It's been months since I've been able to listen to your show, and it's good to see you're back out there.
Yes.
Still out there, I should say.
Still out here, pushing as hard as I can. Yes. All right. Thank you for the phone call. We're going to switch over to Mo in Florida. Hello, Mo. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Michael. I'll try to be quick here because, like you say, you got a lot of people waiting on the phone. So, first of all, that's a smart lady.
Yes.
I mean, she should have her own show. But, you know, I was just thinking, it's easy to Monday morning quarterback with the debates. But do you remember the situation with MacArthur and the crossing the parallel with Truman, and he called him back?
Yes.
I was just thinking, you know, last night, and when I thought it was just extremely rude and disgusting, no matter what you think of Trump, that, Biden told him to shut up. If Trump would have just stopped and said, listen, Mr. Biden, or Vice President Biden, whatever you want to call him, I don't care what you think of Donald Trump, but don't you ever tell the President of the United States to shut up again. That would have just ended the show right there. He had a perfect opportunity. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know that that would have gone over that well with the viewing audience, which, by the way, was about 73 million, not quite the 100 million they were expecting. I think Trump needs to avoid anything that makes him look tyrannical and dictatorial. Biden, of course, stepped into that when he said, I am the Democratic Party. And I think he alienated a lot of the party with that statement.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is you're separating Truman was saying, I don't care what you think. He said, told MacArthur, I don't care. You know, MacArthur showed up late for the meeting with all his medals.
Yes.
He wouldn't. He thought he had the populace behind him. You know, he was this, you know, general that thought he didn't have to listen to his commander in chief. And he called him in his office and he says, listen, he was 15 minutes late or whatever. And he said, listen, I don't care what you think of Harry S. Truman, but don't you ever keep your commander in chief waiting again.
Yes.
Truman's
and then he fired him.
Then he fired his own words were after that. He kissed my ass. I mean, Trump's saying, hey, listen, I don't care what you can think what you want about Donald Trump, but don't you ever tell the President of the United States to shut up. I mean, that would have just, you know, that wouldn't have been.
Yeah. The more I think about it, the more I think you're right.
Yeah. You know, and one other thing real quick, Mike, I noticed Mnuchin was wearing one of the face masks with the Star David on it. So what do you think of that, Layla?
Yeah.
It makes me kind of sick, you know, because not the flag, Star of David on his mask, you know, golden star. So whatever you think about Israel, I mean, I thought it was America first. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, Mike, you said you're in a hurry and I got a lot of calls, so I'll let you go. And thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you very much for the call. We're going to switch over to David in Boston. Hello, David. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Oh, yeah. Aloha, Michael. Can you hear me okay, Michael, or should I take my phone off speaker?
I think you probably ought to take it off speaker so that people can understand you more clearly.
Okay. Yeah, then I have a little trouble hearing you, but I'll take it off speaker here.
Okay.
Yeah, Michael, I, too, was very, very much impressed with Layla. Boy, what a great caller! But what she said explained something to me. Are you familiar with John Batchelor? He has the John Batchelor talk show. He has a lot of guests. And are you familiar with John Batchelor?
I've heard the name. I'm not really that familiar with him.
Oh yeah, back here in Boston on WRKO, he comes on every weekday night. From like 10 to 1 in the morning and everything. It's a long show, and he has. But anyways, he's a rabid Zionist. I guess he's out of New York City, John Batchelor, and he has a real popular show. And I guess he's a rabid Zionist, but he's been kissing up to the Azerbaijanis. He's connected with all the leaders of Azerbaijan. Not too long ago, he was over there broadcasting his show from Azerbaijan. So, anyways, Layla was saying that the Israelis and Azerbaijan have this thing going on, kind of like alliance.
Yeah, seems
stuff,
to support it. Yes.
Yeah. Now, I guess right after I hung up with you yesterday, I looked in my smartphone and I found Bob Schieffer is who I was trying to think of. Yeah.
Yeah. And Mike said he emailed that in.
Huh?
A lot of people emailed that in, but I didn't get to it on yesterday's show. But, yeah, it was Bob Schieffer.
Yeah, You know, he was such a great guy. He was just so even-tempered. He always had a pleasant look on his face, not a, like a sourpuss like that Chris Wallace. And I was looking. He's got all these. He's one thing. He's a legend in some organization, and anyways, he's got all these awards, all these awards and everything, these journalistic, I can't think of the words right now, but you know, just all these honors and everything as a journalist. But he was so good, Bob. He was such a likable guy, and you know, too, where's Bob Schieffer when we need him? But you know that Mike Wallace, that sourpuss. You know, why didn't that?
You mean Chris Wallace?
I mean, yeah, Chris Wallace. Mike Wallace's son there. Chris Wallace and everything. I don't even want to call him a Jew. We don't know whether these people are Jews or not. They say they're Jews. But one thing we do know is they're Judeo-anti-Christians. But why isn't that Judeo-anti-Christian? Why didn't he ask Trump if Trump will disavow and renounce the Jewish supremacists? Huh?
Yes.
I'd like to hear Trump renounce the Jewish supremacists. No, Mike?
Well, because, you know, Chris is very much against Donald Trump, and he wanted to try and trap him with the white supremacy argument, which Trump tried to evade as best as he could. And the media is out there saying he refuses to denounce white supremacist violence, which is not exactly what he said. They're still trying to push that one out there. And again, the Democratic strategy for November is to create as much racial tension as they can, and in order to harvest the black vote for the Democrats.
Yeah. Well, I've said, like, on Fallon's show on Saturday morning and everything, I pointed out, this is what I really believe, Mike, that only white people can destroy the white race. Only white people can destroy white America in the final analysis. And this so-called law enforcement, sometimes I refer to them as pigs, but I know you have a nice show, and I don't want to detract from your show by necessarily using that kind of language. But these race trade law enforcement, they're always on the side of our enemies, and they're also training all of our enemies. Up here in Boston now, I lived in Roxbury in the black section of Boston for about 5 years,
yes.
Up until about 5 years ago. And you wouldn't, somebody should have me on as a guest. Somebody should really hear my story. I have to call the police all the time, every day. I have to call the police. This went on and on. And but these white police now in these cities like Boston and New York and Philly and everything, what they're doing, they've trained so many non-white cops that you know, two or three or four cops show up and there'll be one white cop, and then there'll be an Asian or a black and a Hispanic and everything. And these white cops, now that these white cops have trained all our potential enemies of white people, these white cops are bending over backwards in front of their Chinese colleagues and their black colleagues and their Hispanic colleagues to prove to them that they're not showing white privilege. Half the time they're actually arresting the white victims of black on white crime and everything. I saw people getting what do they used to call that? Where they come up behind and punch somebody in the temple, the knockout game.
The knockout game.
Blacks punching people, and the cops show up the blacks, oh, he called me the N-word, and the pigs wind up actually arresting the victim of the crime. It's insane. But like I say, I'll close with this, Mike, but we can only be destroyed by white people and this white femme scum, these white race traitor pigs, and all our enemies, I'll say it again, all our enemies are associated with the color blue. The blue states, the blue mayors, the blue governors and these blue race trader pigs, and ultimately these blue helmeted United Nations troops, and that damn Israeli flag with the blue Star of David and the two blue rivers. And I'll close with this one last statement, Mike. It's a little play on words. Maybe I'm being a white polemicist when I say this, but our founding fathers, the original patriots in Boston, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Their struggle was with Great Britain and the United Kingdom, okay?
Yes.
Our original patriots back in 1775, 1776, their struggle was with Great Britain and the United Kingdom. But I want to tell you, our struggle is with Great Satan and the United Nations. It's not with Great Britain and the United Kingdom. Now we're up against Great Satan and the United Nations. And with that, I wish you all Godspeed, because you're going to need it. Thank you.
Well, thank you for the phone call. We're going to switch over to Judy in Minnesota. Hello, Judy. Thank you for waiting. What's on your mind today?
Thank you, Michael. I am so happy to be able to talk to you. I've been a listener for 8 years. Your voice is the last I listen to every night before I go to bed. And Monday through Friday, that is.
Yes,
but,
I would say.
but I would like to know if anyone there, your caller audience or you, noticed that there was no American flag on stage during the debate on Tuesday night.
I did notice that. And more than that, I noticed that the backdrop for the candidates was from the Declaration of Independence, and right at eye level, right parallel with the heads of the two candidates, was the most important line in the Declaration of Independence, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. And I was thinking, yes. Whoa, yes. Talk about irony right there.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, I just thought that was very interesting, so I thought I'd bring that up.
Okay. Anything else?
No, I just thought also that maybe some of your callers might have some insight into that, you know, we don't know.
All right. Well, thank you for the phone call. We're going to switch over to Bruce in Texas. Hello, Bruce. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hello, Mike. This may not seem as serious a topic as some of the others we've heard discussed. I think it's a reflection on society, and actually it may actually be of importance when you think about it. I remember Larry Bird playing basketball, and then you had Michael Jordan. And,
yes.
And each year, you know, these are superstars. They're very talented people. They had drive, and they had discipline to win, you know. And every year the ratings would go up. The sport became more popular. And now you have LeBron James, who some say is – probably the best. I'd argue that between Michael Jordan. That's for a sports show. But he is a superstar. And I expected a fall in the ratings, but the overnights came out. It was reported on Yahoo Sports that the ratings for the Game 1 of the 2020 NBA Finals fell 50% over last year.
Yes.
50%. I hope they learn a lesson here. I mean, maybe they have enough corporate backing to where they just move their money around because they got a social program that they want to push, and ratings doesn't mean a whole lot to them. But I hope that's not the case, because if you alienate half the country, your ratings are going to fall 50%. I think that's exactly
yes.
what happened.
That's exactly what happened. You know, sports is supposed to be about sports and not politics, and a lot of people have been very turned off by all of these sports stars, and that's all they are. They're athletes. You know, all of a sudden getting up and lecturing us on whether we should stand or kneel for the national anthem and various other woke issues right now. And that's not why people go to sports. They go to sports to be distracted, to be entertained, to have a good time. And if they're not going to get that, if there's going to be an effort there to make them feel guilty about being who they are, they're not going to show up again.
Yeah. You know, if LeBron James or Colin Kaepernick or anybody, you know, they say what they want on their own time, start a foundation, run for office, mm-hmm. all I care. And to me, I'm still watching, but when they push it in your face like this, and it's not just the athletes now, last year or maybe 2 years ago it was, now it's Black Lives Matter on the court, Black Lives Matter before the game. And then you have these commercials from Madison Avenue, which push race mixing. And I think, you know, that should be an individual's choice and it should reflect the population. But if you watch the commercials, you think every couple was a black man and a white woman. it's so ridiculous. And I hope it all crashes and burns on them, you know, or at least.
I think it's in the process of doing that. And, you know, we're seeing the same thing. You know, coming out of the entertainment industry as a whole, where everything that's coming on out, it's no longer about fun and entertainment and distraction and good story. Everything seems to have a lecture embedded in it about how we should all be woke and, you know, black people are oppressed and white people are the oppressors and, you know, they're all bad and so forth and so on. And again, that's not why we tune in. And that's probably one of the reasons why the entertainment industry's ratings are falling. Anyway, Bruce, we got to let you go. We got to take a break for commercial.
Sure.
We have more callers waiting on the line, and we will be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women,
Welcome back to our show here. We're going to go back to the phones to Mark in North Carolina. Hello, Mark. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Mike. Yeah, I just want to, I'm glad that Layla is back, you know? And
yes,
I'm right with her. You said about the vaccine, what they really want to do. We better be prepared to fight. I wish people would not be so carried away with the race thing. I mean, even some of the callers here, this is just a distraction, okay? Divide and conquer. Mm-hmm. The real problem is these billionaire controllers who want to rule the world. And basically, like Layla said, make us into robots. And I just want to say a little about the Azerbaijan-Armenia thing. It's funny she mentioned Israel being interested in it. What you really got there is basically the Khazarian War. Because
yes.
Armenia, Azerbaijan, Georgia, and part of Turkey pretty much made up what, because what was it called, Khazar, the country of Khazar?
Khazaria.
Khazaria, yeah. I watched this thing, Kings and Generals, on YouTube. It's a series. They show different regions of certain people and all that. And, you know, Khazarians are actually Turkic people who came from Siberia originally. And evidently, they were like a buffer between Islam and Christianity for a while.
Yes.
Islamic invasion from going into Europe from the south, from the east, southeast. And a lot of them did convert to Judaism, but as the empire started to break
up. They were ordered to. The King of Khazaria, in order to prevent Christian missionaries and Muslim missionaries from trying to convert his country, he made Judaism the official religion of Khazaria, imported a bunch of rabbis and said, you are all Jewish now.
That's right. You saw that. You saw the same thing then, right? Kings and Generals?
No, I read a book a while back on the same subject.
Okay. Basically, that's what I said, Kings and Generals. And he actually said that a lot of the powers that be of both the Muslims and the Christians actually wanted them to be Jews because it was kind of a buffer. But as it split
up... they could trade. They could trade. The Christians wouldn't trade with the Muslims, but they would trade with the Jews. The Muslims would trade with the Jews. I mean, that's where Khazaria and their Jews learned how to be merchants and how to make a profit. They were sitting, you know, in an absolutely perfect economic location.
Yeah, well, the actual original Jews, though, they really pretty much did stuff like that in the Middle East, you know, like along trade routes and stuff like that, didn't they? Like, you know, because pretty much that's what the Mediterranean is, a big trade route. Before Arians even became Jews. But the thing is, a lot of these people now have split up, you know, and become Muslims and Christians, and they got all kinds of feuds going now. Okay, and that's what, under the Soviet Union, it was controlled. But I can understand Russia not wanting them under their control anyway. So, you know, because look at all the problems.
Okay, Mark, I got to put you on hold. Okay. Don't hang up. I got to put you on hold. We're going to take a break for station identification. We'll be back with hour number two after these few words.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease Off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new Easy 4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri. 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.